Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
What does it take to do the impossible? What does it take to achieve paradigm-shifting, never-seen-before breakthroughs? Every domain you find, ultimate human performance has the exact same signature. It is a state of consciousness known to researchers as flow. Technically defined as an optimal state of consciousness, one where we feel our best and we perform our best. More specifically, it refers to those moments of rapt attention and total absorption. We get so focused on the task at hand, everything else just disappears. Action and awareness will start to merge. Your sense of self will vanish. Time will dilate, which is a fancy way of saying it passes strangely. So sometimes, occasionally, it'll slow down and you get that freeze frame effect, familiar to anybody who's been in a car crash. And more frequently, it speeds up. And throughout, all aspects of performance, both mental and physical, go through the roof. And this is Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi. He is often called the godfather of flow psychology, and he ran around the world talking to people saying, hey, tell me about the time in your life when you feel your best, you perform your best. Tens of thousands of people said, you know, when I'm at my best, I'm in this state, and every idea, every action, every decision flows seamlessly, perfectly, effortlessly from the last. So flow is actually a phenomenological description. It's how the state makes us feel. Interestingly, for the state to make us feel flowy, flow has to be as close to near perfect high speed creative decision making as we can get. Flow is fundamental. Flow is fundamental to well-being and overall life satisfaction. In fact, the people who score off the charts, highest in the world for overall life satisfaction and well-being, are the people with the most flow in their lives. All right, so this is optimal performance. Great. How optimal? What are we talking about? Turns out, pretty optimal. So McKinsey, the global consultancy, did a 10-year study, and they found that top executives in flow are 5 times more productive than out of flow. 5 times more productive is 500% more productive. Interestingly, 2 days a week in flow, you are 1,000% more productive than the competition. In flow, we're not using more of the brain, we're actually using less of the brain. The technical term for this is transient, meaning temporary, hypofrontality. Hypo is H-Y-P-O, it's the opposite of hyper. It means to slow down, to shut down, to deactivate. And frontality is the prefrontal cortex, right? The part of your brain that's right back here. Now this is an extremely powerful part of your brain. It handles complex logical decision making. It handles long-term planning. Your sense of morality comes from here, your sense of willpower. In flow, this portion of the brain shuts down. It's actually an efficiency exchange. The brain is trading energy it needs for attention, and it's shutting down non-critical structures. When it shuts down the prefrontal cortex, all kinds of crazy things happen. Why does time pass so strangely in a flow state, for example? Time, it turns out, is calculated all over the prefrontal cortex. And as parts of it wink out, it can no longer separate past from present from future. We're plunged into a state researchers talk about as the deep nap. Now, the deep nap has a huge impact on performance. If you think about most of your fears, most of your anxieties, very few of them are in the right here, right now. They're usually horrible things that happened in the past that we'd like to avoid happening again in the present, or they're scary things that might, maybe, could happen in the future, right? And we'd like to steer around it. When we end up in the deep now, when time gets shut down in a flow state, anxiety disappears. Your stress hormones flood out of your system. The nervous system actually resets at this point. Same thing happens to your sense of self. So self is actually a network. It's a bunch of different structures in the prefrontal cortex that are linked together. And like any network, as parts of it start to wink out, the network collapses. As a result, our sense of self disappears. Again, huge impact on performance. When your sense of self disappears, your inner critic, that nagging always-on defeatist voice in your head, your inner Woody Allen, in flow, Woody gets silent. Right? So we experience this as liberation, as freedom. We are actually getting out of our own way, literally. Right? As a result, risk-taking goes up. Creativity, because you're no longer doubting every one of your neat ideas, goes up. And in flow, we get five of the most potent neurochemicals that the brain can produce. Now, all five of them amplify performance. They boost physical performance. They will do everything from increased strength to deaden pain to amplifying muscle reaction time. More importantly, they impact cognitive function. So besides being performance-enhancing chemicals, the five chemicals that show up in flow are pleasure drugs. In fact, they're the five most potent pleasure drugs the brain can produce. Flow is the only time it appears that we get all five at once, which is why flow is the most addictive state on earth. This is exactly what is available to each and every one of you today. But what you choose to do with this information is entirely up to you. But thanks for listening.
This is the story of DMT, or dimethyltryptamine, a simple compound found throughout nature which has profound effects on human consciousness.
Even though it's the most powerful psychedelic drug known to man, it's in every single ecosystem all over the world. It exists in plants and grasses, and it's everywhere. I mean, it's really the craziest drug to be illegal everywhere because everyone's got it in their system. It's like everyone's holding. That was like Terrence McKenna's line. Yeah, and it's pretty intense stuff, man. If you do it, you will talk to intelligent beings from other dimensions, for real. I mean, it sounds crazy. You would think that if there's something like that, that it would be on the front page. It's amazing that people don't know about it. I mean, it's the most incredible experience. I mean, we are such an experience-obsessed society. I mean, everybody wants to go whitewater rafting, and people want to talk about, you know, my uncle climbed Mount Everest. It's all about experiences. We all want to ride roller coasters and see the craziest movies. There is a little powder, and you smoke this little powder, and it will change the way you look at everything. You won't care about UFOs. If a UFO landed right out there, I'd be like, wow, yeah, they're probably from another planet. Whatever. It's not DMT. DMT is 100,000 times crazier than that. It's like mushrooms times a million plus aliens.
Plus.
That's what it's like. And literally, I mean, it sounds, it's crazier than you could possibly imagine or describe. If you take DMT, you will communicate with something. And it's so beyond description that me talking about it is like trying to explain a kaleidoscope to a blind man. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. Like, there's no way you could explain it. I mean, yeah. it's so beyond anything you can explain. But something communicates with you when you do this stuff. And my words do it no justice. The craziest thing about DMT, because DMT is literally like having a meeting with God. It's like having a meeting with divine, unbelievably wise, incredibly loving energy. Like, whatever it is, the source of everything. And it leaves you so humbled that after it's over, you have it's like literally like you're still you. You still look like you. You still wear the same clothes you are. But you're not really you anymore. I mean, you literally have been changed. You know, you have experienced something that very few humans experience. And the thought to me that people can go through their entire lives and not know about this is an incredible waste of time. It's like your life could be so much more positive and so much more interesting and fascinating, and you would be so much more humble and aware of what you really are and where you really stand if you just had this experience. The crazy thing is you can get alcohol everywhere. You can go to Duane Reade and buy a jug of wine and get effed up. You know? I mean, we have drugs that are available. I mean, how many times you talk to a girl, oh, I don't do drugs. Meanwhile, she's hammered, smoking a cigarette. You know, I mean, everybody, there's drugs, caffeine. I mean, I'm drinking a coffee right now. It's sanctioned. It's a sanctioned drug because it's great for capitalism. It keeps you going, it keeps you working. Yeah. But there's drugs out there that are actually good for you. There's drugs out there that are actually good for your mind. I do drugs because I find the state that psychedelic drugs put you in very fascinating and very introspective, and you can learn a lot about yourself. You can learn about a lot about life because it removes you and your ego from the equation. You get to look at things from like a newborn's perspective. That's why I do it. I don't do anything like, I don't do coke or meth or anything dangerous, anything that's addictive. I have never done coke. I've never done speed. I've never done heroin. I won't do anything that can hurt you. But psychedelic drugs, those are they're very different. With this big blanket that we put on everything, we call everything drugs. That's a broad term that encompasses everything from like NyQuil to DMT. You know, I mean, they're all drugs. I mean, they all affect your consciousness. It's like, how do they affect your consciousness though? I'm not interested in anything that messes me up. I'm not interested in anything that gives me brain damage or anything that makes me, you know, addicted to it. I'm only interested in things that can alter my state of consciousness for the better. It's very, very intense. But it's not dangerous. It's a human neurotransmitter. It's actually one of the most transient drugs ever exhibited in the body because your body brings it down to baseline really quickly. Your body brings it down to baseline in like 10 to 15 minutes. It's really crazy.
What's that mean, down to baseline?
It means like, say, if you have it, you're high, you go to that dimension, it blows out, and then 15 minutes later, you're back normal. And the crazy thing is, it's just like dreams. You know, you wake up and you're like, I had the craziest dream. It was me and my buddy Mike, and we were kids, but we had a sled, and my mom was there. And then 5 minutes later, you're like, what the hell was my dream?
Yeah.
That's exactly what a DMT trip is like. It's like gold dust slipping through your fingers.
Why is DMT in our bodies? Why is it in plants, in all sorts of mammals? And what is the role it plays in humans?
Why is there a part of the brain that seems to be...
I've worked with thousands of addicts. I've never met one ever who said, I'm good enough, I'm worthy enough, and I just drink for fun. They drink because of the emptiness inside. And the emptiness is the needs that were not met as children, that they're still trying to fill. And so in 1984, I saw many things that fascinated me and were all to do with this feeling of not enoughness. I began to research the psychology of eating disorders, the psychology of not enoughness, what lies behind addictions. And over maybe 4 years, I developed my own method of therapy. So I began to collate all the things that really worked for clients. And I realized you have to become what I call a detective, a good detective. A good detective lays out pictures and they look at them And then they try to work out what's happened in this scene. So I'd be looking at information and working out with the client, not for them. How did you become anorexic? How did you become bulimic? When did you become a hoarder? What happened when you began to have these issues? I never say what's wrong with you. I never even say, how are you feeling? I always say, what happened? Let's track back like a detective what was going on in that moment. And after you've got that information, which is very easy to get when you ask the right questions, the next thing is to become more like a dentist than a detective, and you start removing all those toxic beliefs. Look, just because your dad never saw you, just because you were the fifth girl and you should have been a boy, that's not you. You're meant to be you. And then you become a coder, and you code in and wire in and fire in better beliefs, rather like if my computer started to slow down, I'd get an X-ray. You go, it's got a bug in it. I'm going to upgrade your software. But we have a bug in us, and we need to upgrade our software. And then in doing that, I realized that really all of my clients could only have one of three things wrong with them. And the three things are always, I'm not enough. That's the huge thing. I'm not enough. And if you start from I'm not enough, then you need more. More cake, more drinks, more drugs, more sex, more stuff, more shopping, more followers, because we've got so into I'm not enough and I need more. And it's actually very easy to fix that. The next thing wrong is what I want isn't available. I want love, but I'm not lovable. I want success, but I didn't go to college. I want to be free of depression, but I've got the depression gene or the alcoholic gene. I'm not really convinced they even exist, but the belief that I want something so much and I'm going after it, but it's not available. It's this block, these blocking thoughts, these limiting beliefs. And the third one is I'm different, so I can't connect. And that sounds silly, but it's actually the bane of people's lives, because we're tribal people, wired to connect, wired to belong, wired to find connection, avoid rejection. But we live in a world now where we connect with our screen and we connect with our phone, and it's really damaging people. So I always say, look, don't make it complicated. Look for those three things. You'll find them. And when you look for those, it can only be one of those three things or degrees of it. It just makes life so simple, because clients love it when you say, look, the only thing wrong with you is you don't think you're good enough. And that's a belief, and here's how it works. You think a thought, and the thought makes you feel a feeling, and the feeling makes you behave in a certain way, which you justify because you think the thought. So don't worry about changing the behavior, or indeed the feeling, change the thought. And I think a lot of conventional therapy is so busy trying to change the behavior or the actions or the feelings, when the law of control says it all starts with a thought. And so I really like to simplify what makes humans tick, because what's the point of making it complicated? How does that help anyone who says, well, I'm messed up and so hard to change and people can't change? It's like, well, that's not correct. Who taught you that? You, from the minute you're born, you're changing. Most of us have had an experience of eating something, being violently sick, thought, oh, I could never eat that again. I could never look at whiskey again. There's no way I could ever eat shellfish again. But it's very simple to think a different thought, because we own our thoughts and we can change our thoughts. And if we just learn to question, why do I think that? Who told me that was true? Question a thought, upgrade your thought, update your thought. For women especially, all these thoughts, you know, you can never find love after 50. Nobody wants somebody with cellulite. If you're a successful woman, a man won't like you. Well, that's not true. There's lots of women getting married for the first time at 50, including me. Your lovability's got nothing to do with the numbers on the scales or the numbers in your clothing label or the numbers on your birth certificate. And you've got to stop all of that and just believe that you're great, and you can be even greater when you stop defining who you are by what the numbers say. Most of us, we make a belief without realizing that that belief turns around and makes us. And then we have something called confirmation bias. We now look for proof that that belief is real. So I could have a belief. I'm painfully shy and I can't speak to people. Like, that belief is making me now, because I stress about speaking to people. I might blush. I avoid situations. And now I'm looking for proof, the confirmation bias. Look, last time I spoke, I went bright red. I got all tongue-tied. That person, I could see they weren't interested. I felt like an idiot. So I better make sure I carry on not speaking. So you have to switch it. I've made a belief. Why don't I change that to, I can talk to people. Other people do it. I have two ears and one mouth. That means I should listen more, talk less. But I can engage with people. If I can talk to my friends or my pet or someone, I can talk to people. I'm making a different belief. Now I'm looking for confirmation bias of how, oh, I spoke to a guy in the store and they were engaging. And if I can speak to one person, I can speak to many and I can learn. All of my clients' greatest pain was the lie they told themselves and the story they bought into. And I say, listen, if you're prepared to tell yourself a lie, which is, if I look at cake, I gain weight, everything I touch falls apart, no one in my family has ever done anything, I've got the depression gene. We don't even know if that's true. That's probably a lie. When the people say, I've eaten like a horse all weekend, I'm assuming you peed occasionally, so you didn't really eat nonstop like a horse all weekend. Let's change that. So if your lie is, I gain weight by looking at food, you might as well say, I got a super fast metabolism. My body is a fat burning machine. Is that true? But it doesn't matter, because saying you eat like a horse is also not true. But here's how it works. You got a belief. You've made it, it's making you, and you're looking for proof, so make a better belief. And people say, no, it's amazing. I just thought a different thought and everything changed on a dime. You know, procrastination and self-sabotage is nothing more than a reaction to a thought that I'm not enough. So many people are so scared of failing that they think, well, I've written a book, but I'll never show it to anyone. I've got an idea, but what if it doesn't work? And when they begin to see, oh, it all tracks back to a thought which I'm free to change, it's very liberating, it's very empowering. So your mind's job is to make your thoughts real. The job of your mind is to listen to your thoughts and to start to make them real. And it doesn't have any choice in that, but your job is to think better thoughts, which makes your mind's job easier. So let's imagine you're saying to your mind, if I get dumped one more time, it will kill me. If one more person ghosts me, that's it. It will ruin my life. If one more person rejects me, I'm just gonna never go out again. Now your mind's job is to make you act in a way that avoids rejection, probably by becoming very solitary, not asking for anything. But if you were to say to your mind, hey mind, you know, I love connecting. I'm finding love and love is finding me. Your mind's going to do a different job. We have to remember something. The mind has no choice but to act on our thoughts. But we have an incredible choice to think better thoughts. And if you could look in your body and see the inflammation, the stress hormones, the cortisol you create from thinking negative thoughts, you would never do it again. So we got to remember our thoughts are not our thoughts. They're a blueprint that our mind, body, and psyche are trying to make real. And if you could only think better thoughts, you'd give your mind an easy job. So it may sound a bit Pollyanna, but actually whatever has gone on in your early childhood, you still can reframe it and say, that will never happen again. I always think of your life being like a clock. And if your life was a clock, then your childhood is only the first 7 minutes. And it can be awful. And I mean, I have clients who tell me stories that are so horrendous, but we're not fragile. Human beings are actually incredibly resilient. And no matter how bad the first 7 minutes is, I mean, look at Oprah Winfrey's first 7 minutes, you can still make the rest of the clock, the next 53 minutes, amazing. One of my clients told me her story, which was that her parents tried to terminate her in the womb because they were very young and they didn't want a baby. And they told her this story and they said, you know, you were so strong and so meant to be. And she said, every time I heard that story, I thought, yes, against all the odds, I was meant to be here. I must be here for something amazing, and she is an amazing person with an amazing career. Very well known. But then another client told me that same story. I found out my parents tried to terminate me, and I survived their attempt. And so what point is there? How could I even be anything? If my own parents didn't want me, then I'm clearly not worth anything. But the other one said, if my own parents didn't want me and I survived that, I must be worth everything.
Are you familiar with Alan Watts? I just recently heard an interview where he was talking about near the end of his life. He goes, some days I feel like I'm stuck together by wire and sticky bits of tape. And it makes me think, should I question what I'm doing? And he says, no, I shouldn't question what I'm doing. I'm a person like anyone else. And really, the show must go on. Like, just because I'm a person who feels these things too doesn't mean that the teaching needs to end. Do you ever find that when you're working with a client, there's a story that just really rocks you?
The saddest stories I find are often when I work with teenage boys who never had a father in their life. Or I've had a few clients who said, you know, I was an IVF baby, or my mother just found someone and I don't even know who my dad is. And I worked with a kid a little while ago whose parents had gone to Brazil and adopted him. And they loved him very much and they brought him back. But he couldn't find his real family. They just found him somewhere, and he had no ability to trace that family. And so his story was, I can't find my birth mother or father. I don't belong here. And I talked to him a bit and said, you know, darling, you have to celebrate being Brazilian. You know, you can go to Brazil, you can learn Brazilian. Brazil was actually in the World Cup at the time, and you can still find that. And when he came back the next time, he dyed his hair the color of the Brazilian flag. I thought, oh, he's really taken that on board. And he was a kid that was so lost and so angry with his parents because they hadn't understood that when they took him and gave him a better life, they took him away from what he thought mattered. But then, of course, he realized that he could go to Brazil, embrace his, but he might never, and he probably would never find those parents, but he could find the Brazilianness in him.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.